Hope you had a good afternoon, a very restful afternoon, and glad you're back again to study from God's Word tonight. Do you have anything that you're willing to sell? I know when I was in the country, Ray Costello and I, we had a call-in program. And one of the people that would come on after our call-in program on Sunday was a fella. He had the gospel bandwagon. And he would sell John the Baptist shower curtains and Joseph and Mary salt and pepper shakers. And he made seemed like a pretty good sideline on that by selling that. But that wasn't the most popular of the radio programs. Surprising. But from 9 to 11 on Monday through Friday in the country, they would have something called the Swap Shop. And every radio in where we lived in Cumberland County was probably tuned in to the Swap Shop because they wanted to hear what people had for sale and what they were able to end up buying. And they enjoyed that program. I know today there's a lot of popularity with yard sales. We went past one the other day. It was a yard sale inside. You went inside the house and looked around, see what you wanted, see what you could later come back and steal, evidently. But they had it inside. There are storage units now that our storage place has an auction every month. Every month where somebody didn't pay their bill for 1 or 2 months straight. And then they would have an auction to see who wanted to buy what was in that storage unit. I've been to some of your homes. In some of your homes right now, you have a $400 clothes hanger. It's really called a treadmill, but you don't use it as a treadmill. You use it as clothes hanger. And maybe, just maybe, if someone came along and offered you $400, you might turn around and sell that treadmill. If someone offered you the right amount for almost anything, would you part with it? In fact, we could ask another question. Would you sell yourself? Not from the standpoint of immorality of prostitution. I'm not talking about that. But maybe would you prostitute your principles? Would you prostitute your character? Well, today, tonight, and next Sunday night as well, because I got carried away with this, so we're going to divide it into two. We're going to look at Ahab, who it says sold himself to do wickedness. And we just want to look at basically 3 points tonight, and then the lesson will be yours. This story of Ahab is found in 1 Kings chapter 16 through 1 Kings chapter 22. It's basically the life of Elijah as well. So if you want to get someone who sort of goes along with Ahab, other than Jezebel, of course, Elijah would be the one who would live around the same time and prophesy around the same time that Ahab was alive. In 1 Kings, and in chapter 21, in verse 25, it says, "There is no one like Ahab, who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up." Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. In 1 Kings chapter 21 and in verse 20, 1 Kings chapter 21 and in verse 20, this is the story of Ahab as he covets a vineyard, a Naboth's vineyard. And in verse 20 of chapter 21, it says, Ahab said to Elijah, "Have you found me, O my enemy?" And he answered, "I have found you because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord." Now, one of the things we could see regarding the Old Testament was that the Israelites, they could sell themselves into slavery. If they wanted to totally give themselves to another person, if it was such to where they couldn't pay some bill or whatever, they could sell themselves into slavery. And they could give themselves wholly or totally to another person. But nothing restrained this man from doing evil. It just seemed like that was just on his mind almost constantly. Although there were a couple of times that he would turn a little bit. But we see that Jezebel was such an influence with him. So we ask the question tonight, as we look at the first three points tonight. Am I in the process of selling myself to do evil? So let's look at three points tonight, and the lesson's yours. First of all, he viewed sin as a trivial thing. In 1 Kings chapter 16 and in verse 30 and 31, 1 Kings 16, in verses 30 and 31, it says, "Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. It came about as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians, and went to serve Baal and worshiped him." I am seeing this in different areas of society today, not just spiritually. One of the things I notice in the school system today is many times the non-support or non-belief of the teachers of the principal. It used to be when a child misbehaved, they would be spanked by the teacher. In fact, if they misbehaved quite a bit, they not only would be spanked by the teacher, they'd be spanked by the principal as well. And even if that knowledge came full board back to their family, there's a good opportunity that maybe even a child would have been spanked by his or her parent. What I see today with disobedience is that a parent will go in many times now and argue with the teacher. They will argue with the principal over the misbehavior of a child. They'll say, "How dare you? How dare you want to," whatever the punishment is now. I think the punishment is now about the fact you get a different color. I don't know. It seemed like that was one thing they talked about one day, about the fact if you're good, you get one color. If you're bad, you get another color. And it seems like that's the punishment now for a child, that she gets a bad color. I don't know what that does to children or what it does in society. Years ago, you would get punished in a different way. And I think a lot of people now feel that obedience, even in a public school setting, is a very trivial thing. And my child How dare them want to have my child obey a teacher or obey a principal or obey a policeman in the school system? Well, it was a trivial thing back in Ahab's day as well, to where when you talk about something trivial, what we're talking about evidently is something that just isn't very important to the person. Something very trivial. It's no big deal. In the book of Ezekiel, I think in the book of Ezekiel, in some of the older versions, he says that it's going to be a small matter. I think Ezekiel uses that term several times in his book. In First Timothy chapter 4, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2, 1 Timothy 4 and in verse 2, really, verse 1, it says, the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. What happens? What happens is you can sear your conscience after a while. That you've trained over the course of time, maybe your mother and father have trained you over the course of time, and that helps to train your conscience. And then when you reach the age of accountability and you start studying the Bible for yourself, that your conscience is even going to be trained even further. Well, there's a lot of people that believe that sin is trivial, and after a while they just sear their conscience. Jeremiah talks about they're not ashamed. They didn't even blush. Didn't even know how to blush. And in Proverbs, in chapter 14, let's turn over there for a minute. Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 9. Proverbs 14 verse 9. It says, fools mock at sin. I think this is one of the strongest words that God uses for people. When he uses the term many times, you fool. Talks about a fool is going to say in his mind or his heart, there is no God. So we see concerning that, or in chapter 10 and in verse 23, Proverbs 10 and in verse 23, it says, doing wickedness is like sport to a fool, and so is wisdom to a man of understanding. Are we going to wear away what God has given us, our conscience, to where we even become seared regarding sin? Secondly, the second point here. He married a worldly person. He married a worldly person. In chapter 16 and in verse 31, chapter 16, verse 31, it says, and it came about, as though it had been a trivial thing to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, the king of the Sidonians. She was a pagan. If we can get Christians to live with the same attitude, and what I mean by that is, she lived her faith to the fullest. And it's hard sometimes for Christians to do that, to live their faith to the fullest. But she was one that certainly lived her faith to the fullest. You don't see Jezebel turning from sin. She lived her faith to the fullest. She was a pagan. In Deuteronomy chapter 7 And in verses 1 through 5, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 through 5, when Moses is getting ready to leave the people, he says in verse 1, when the Lord your God brings you into the land that you're entering to possess it, and clears the way of many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you. Then the Lord God delivers them before you, and you will defeat them. Then you will utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them or show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughters to their sons. You shall not give their daughters to your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, and the anger of the Lord shall be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. And thus you shall do to them. You shall tear down the altar, smash the sacred pillars, hew down the Asherim, and burn their graven images with fire. There is it's really a historical psalm, and Psalm 106. Psalm 106, you don't usually find something like this in the Psalms, but this is a historical psalm. And Psalm 106 in verse 34 through 39, Psalm 106, verse 34 through 39. It says, they did not destroy the peoples as the Lord commanded them. They mingled with the nations and learned their practices. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons, their daughters to the demons. They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons, their daughters. They sacrificed the idols of Canaan. The land was polluted with the blood, and they became unclean in their practices, and they played the harlot in their deeds. A historical psalm about being involved in idolatry, that they relished it, they loved it, they lived their faith to the fullest in idolatry. They wanted that. And evidently he wanted that, because he married a worldly person. Jezebel was the stronger in the marriage. It talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, meaning that you don't put a oxen with a dog to pull a plow. One is going to overthrow the other as far as strength is concerned. And not only in marriage, but in every other walk of life. You don't want to be unequally yoked together. Ahab sold himself to do evil because Jezebel stirred him up. Well, one more tonight, the lesson's yours. In 1 Kings, and in chapter 16 again, says he married Jezebel, verse 32 or verse 31. Went to serve Baal and worship him. Verse 32, he erected an altar for Baal in the midst of the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Ahab made also the Ashtoreth. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than all the kings who were before him. Something to be proud of, that you did more to provoke the Lord than any other king. Ahab served and worshipped Baal. He set up an altar for Baal, made a wooden image, and again did more to provoke God. He took on a worldly religion. Over the course of the life of this church, as well as other churches in Louisville and America and around the world that stand for the truth, there's a lot of people over the course of time that fall away from the Lord. There's a lot of people that fall away from the Lord because of worldly mindedness. And maybe I can understand this a little bit. I don't know. But the thing that's hard for me to understand is for people to leave the Lord to follow a man's religion. That's what I become very curious about. I know that people fall away from the Lord for worldliness. But to fall away because of a man's religion. Let me talk to you about this for just a second. Sometimes we lose people to denominations. Many churches have. And again, I have a hard time understanding why that would be. Even people after they go to different denominations. It's strange, people still call me for their mothers and fathers' funerals a lot of times. But they're now in different denominations. And they'll say, well, you know, I'm going over there to the Baptist church now. And I tell you what, I just can't get used to instrumental music. I'm thinking to myself, well, what do you leave for? If you can't get used to instrumental music, if that's bothering your conscience that much, why don't you repent of your sins and come back to the Lord? Here's what I've seen. And this is how it goes normally for a lot of people. A lot of people become discontent with what's happening within the Lord's church. They'll talk to other people. Just naturally. Naturally, you talk to other people. But as you talk to other people, especially as you talk about religion to other people, a lot of times you're not defending your religious beliefs. A lot of times what's happening is you're hearing the other person talking about how greener the grass is on the other side. What it's like over there. What they have over there. I've heard some people talk about before. About, you know, my kids, they might spend $20,000 on child care. I don't know how much they spend now, but they're close to it. $20,000 on child care. You know, there's some churches in town now that will cut the expenses of child care down fairly low. And people that are discontent, even to the point of having to spend a lot of money in so many different areas, they'll say, well, I tell you what, look over there. They got child care. You know, instead of $25,000 a year, I only have to spend $4,800 a year. In fact, in some denominations, you work for a picnic two nights. maybe a couple of fish fries, and you have your child's tuition maybe covered for an entire year. And people like that. They buy into that. Or someone was telling me one time about, we enjoy our children's, our grandchildren's soccer games. Our grandchildren's soccer games are now on Sunday morning. And the church there, they'll provide a prayer before the soccer game. And then we'll go and we'll watch our grandkids play soccer, and they don't schedule services that day. And then after the soccer games are over, we can be done by 11 o'clock and maybe have an early brunch. See, they're discontent with what they have in one place. But someone that offers them something else in another place, a worldly view of religion. Maybe you don't hear this term too often, but I hear it quite a bit. And that's guilt-free grace. Guilt-free grace. And what they're trying to market now at a lot of different denominations is guilt-free grace. You can be a Christian, but you can live however you want to live. And that is palatable to a lot of people. Well, thanks for your attention tonight. Here we see the progression. You see the progression here? Ahab sold himself to do evil. He viewed sin as a trivial thing. Sin's no big deal. So what's the progression now? He married a worldly person. I want someone in my life to go even further with me. It might not even be a wife or a husband. It might be other friends. That I want them to go further with me in this life. I want them to go further with me into this sin. And then the third point in this progression is that he took on a worldly religion. That I am going to accept. Maybe a spouse's view. It might be the fact that I'm going to accept a friend's view. And I'm going to get involved in this because over there where they're just worshiping God, that just isn't the thing to do now. I want to go and I want to be free and I want to be happy, and the idea of reading the Bible is just plain boring to me. Well, selling yourself to do evil. Might be in the audience tonight, not a Christian. Understand the condition that you're in, needing a Savior to be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if you need to come back to your first love, I invite you to come right now. While together we stand, we sing.